Matthew, starting chapter number 15, Gospel of Matthew. Now, as he had mentioned, I had said on Wednesday that we don't know when we'll be back the next time, and quite honestly, it could be 6 months, it could be several years. We don't know. They do want to see Caleb following up about every 6 months to a year, but we're hoping that we can find a cardiologist in San Juan so that we don't have to continuously make a trip just for them to run a couple tests and say, okay, everything is all right. We'll see you in another 6 months. So that's our hope, is that we can find someone there on the island that'll be able to kind of fill in the gaps. They're saying by age two, if he's not improved, then they may have to do some kind of surgical procedure with his heart, but there's nothing set in stone that that is the case. And so that was really primarily the reason why we came back. We knew we were coming back when we left in October for this period of time, but moving forward from here, nothing is really set in stone. And so, you know, we love you all, but we don't know when we'll see you again, praise the Lord. But we do thank and pray for all of you on a regular basis, and we just we can't thank you enough for the prayers for our family. If you think of it, please pray for my wife. We think she's having the side effects of some of the medications that she was on. She was really struggling. In fact, I left as soon as I was done with Sunday school because I got a text saying, I need you. And she knows when I'm at church that it had better be serious for me to leave church, and I knew that that was the case. And she said at one point, it feels like the pain is like I'm in labor. And then it settled down for a few hours, and sure enough, just as I was getting dressed to come here, kind of flared up again. So we'll see how tomorrow goes, but please keep her in your prayers if you would. Now, the start of this message, you're going to probably get the wrong impression of this message. And by a show of hands, how many here would say that you are a dog fan? You enjoy dogs, you are a dog. I don't know if you'd consider a dog lover, but you are preferential to dogs over cats. Large show of hands, yes, okay? I am not in that crowd, just so you know. I am a cat person, I have always been that way, but my mom has a dog. And so we've had some interesting times when we come to stay with Mom because of our wonderful friend, Buddy the dog. And if you talk to my son Samuel, any dog that he sees is Buddy. That's Buddy. No, that's Grandma's dog. Buddy. No. It's not his name. So we're going to talk about dogs a little bit this evening. Now, I want to preface this message by saying that while I am not a dog lover, I am not a dog hater. Okay, and I want you to understand that, because we're going to look at what scriptures have to say about dogs. All right, now don't hate me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm already getting some looks here. All right? We're going to look at what scripture has to say, but I want you to view that in comparison to an unsaved person. And there's a reason we're going to look at some of these verses, okay? I preached this about 2 weeks ago at a missions conference and was asking, when Pastor had asked me if I wanted to preach, what the Lord wanted me to preach, and he brought me back to this message, but I have tweaked it a little bit, and the Lord has added a few things since I preached it several weeks ago. So, hopefully by now you're in Matthew chapter 15. Let's look in verses number 21 all the way down to verses 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21, the Bible says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the privilege it is to be in your house this evening. Thank you for the songs that we've already been able to sing of praise and worship. Thank you for the song that the youth choir sang, Lord God. And Lord, we don't know how long we have. We may just have one breath left. However many we do have, God, may we use it to praise you, to bring you the glory that you deserve. Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way this evening. Lord, it is always an honor to preach here, but they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And God, I ask that you do a mighty work in our midst. Lord God, if there be one here this evening that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may tonight be the night they can call upon him and know that heaven is their home. We'll just be quick to thank you and to praise you for what you're going to do, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this portion of Scripture, and I find it kind of interesting that in verse number 26, essentially Jesus is calling this woman a dog. But he answered and said unto her, "Is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now she had just asked for help previous to that. The end of verse 25, "Lord, help me." And his response is, "It's not meet to give food to the dogs." Wow, that's quite a... I don't know about you, but if I were to ask someone for help, I don't think that's the response that I would be looking for. And yet we see the humility of this woman, that she doesn't kind of get offended by the statement. And it got me thinking as I was studying my Bible not that long ago of what does Scripture have to say about dogs here? Why would Jesus essentially call her a dog when we live in a society in a day and age where dogs are man's best friend? And for many reasons, I would say rightfully so. I know of many good dogs. Now, my mom's dog is kind of irritating to me, but he's a tremendous companion to my mom, and he was a tremendous companion to my dad before my dad died. So, I'm not here saying anti-dogs, but I was just curious after reading this portion of Scripture, and I'd seen that before and just kind of skimmed over it a little bit, but as I started to think about it, man, I wonder what Scriptures really do have to say about dogs. And so we're going to look at a little bit of that this evening. It's interesting that of the 40-some verses that mention dogs, there's really only one that casts them in a good light, and that's found in Judges chapter number 7 as it refers to Gideon and the 300 men that God does choose to go and fight with Gideon. It was those who lapped up the water like a dog. Those were the men that God decided to choose. But for the most part, we don't really see Scriptures casting them in a good light. And so again, I asked you before I started this message that I want you to consider what Scriptures are going to show us as it relates to dogs as to how we can look at the unsaved people around us. So let's start in Exodus chapter number 22. Exodus chapter number 22. Now my wife is a big fan of the Hallmark Channel. And we've just come off the holiday season, and so they have all kinds of holiday movies that we watch. And again, as I've mentioned in previous messages, I'm partial to watch the movies with my wife. They're, for the most part, they're good, wholesome movies. Now, are they Christian in nature? No, certainly not, but it's better than most of the entertainment that's out there. And one of the things that I noticed during the Christmas season was just how much they were bombarding you with the ASPCA commercials that were part of the pauses in between the movies there. And they always show the most pathetic looking faces of these dogs. And for someone who's not a dog lover, I'm like fighting off tears and about ready to pull out the credit card, because it does get you. They know that. But here's my question. Now again, I'm not advocating for abuse of animals, and I'm not here saying that dogs are bad animals. But my question is, what about people? What about the children We just had one of the most heinous decisions in the history of mankind made here in the state of New York. And my question is, okay, yeah, we've got a lot of animals that are out there that are struggling and suffering and hurting. But what about the souls around us? What about the people that are around us? Why does our society care more about animals than about human beings? And that's what really kind of prompted the origins for this message. Because we're getting to a day and age where we're seeing that lack of natural affection for human beings that's being cast on to the animals and other causes that exist in our society today. Exodus chapter number 22. Hopefully you're there by now. Look at verse number 31, last verse of this chapter. The Bible says, "And ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs." You see, here God makes a separation. He says, "Ye shall be holy men unto me, and ye won't eat this here, but I want you to throw that to the dogs." To me, it looks like there is a distinction between the holiness that God is associated with versus the unholiness. Now again, this message is not to be bashing dogs, but to consider it in light of a lost person. Do we understand that lost people are unholy? They're not righteous. They are not to be in association with God. Just as he points out to these holy men here, you are not to eat of this. That is to be thrown to the dogs. There should be some separation. But we need to remind ourselves that lost people are not righteous. They are unholy. You see, our world is quickly changing that spectrum. That there is no difference. And sadly, it's a lot of Christians who are forgetting where we came from. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You know, it's easy to point the finger. And I honestly, I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be. Because what I'm seeing is a lot of born-again Bible-believing Christians losing sight of why we are here. You know, this decision that was made by New York and the governor and the legislators that were involved with this is horrific. There's nothing positive that can be said about it. But then we come to this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I want us to consider something. And look at verses number 9 through 11 here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of that list that we just read in those verses. God makes clear mention that this is not a list we want to be a part of. But then we come to verse number 11. And we read, "And such were some of you." Brethren, let's not forget. Yes, sir. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more in another point a little bit later in the message. But we're no different. But ye are washed, it says. Where would we be without the blood of Christ? where would we be? I know for a fact I wouldn't be standing up here. And such were some of you. Unholy, unfit to be associated with God. Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah chapter number 56, let's look at verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." Here in these verses, we see that they are dumb and they are greedy. And I dare say that my mom's dog would fit into that category. He's not the brightest dog. And oh, is he very greedy. And we all know animals like that. But more importantly, we all know people like that. In fact, I'm sure that we have encountered both animals and people that have left us asking the question, are they really that dumb? And the older I get, the lower that bar goes with common sense. Says greedy. Now, I was a cat person growing up. We always had cats. My parents had dogs growing up, but they just didn't feel like, because of the size of the property that we had, that a dog would be a good fit for us. And our neighbors had some vicious dogs, and I think my dad was afraid of some problems there. But I remember as a kid, I had to watch the neighbor's dogs when they went on vacation. And I learned an important lesson very quickly as it relates to dogs. That when you go to feed them, once they start eating, you don't touch their food. You give them the food, and you back away. Because if you get anywhere near their food while they're eating, they're not going to share with you. And my neighbor's dog almost took my hand off because I realized I had given him the wrong food and I was trying to give him something better. But you're not going to reason with a dog. All he saw was that I was taking the food away from him and he didn't want any part of that. Greedy. There are a lot of greedy people amongst us. We all know them. We've all seen them. Our society is filled with them. But we have to remind ourselves that that is part of what's considered human nature. Scriptures wouldn't remind us in several places that there is none righteous if we were inherently good. But we're not. Our flesh is inherently evil. You see, this is all building up to something. We see that they are unholy and unfit to be associated with God. We see that they can be dumb and they can be greedy. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse I remember several months ago, and I don't remember the message, I don't remember the context in which it was in, but I do remember our preacher making this statement in one of his messages. And I remember going back to my mom's house and not getting upset with Buddy the dog, because the preacher had reminded me that dogs act like dogs. 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse number 22, right at the end of the chapter there. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now maybe you're different than me, but I find myself asking the dog quite often, "What are you doing?" As if I expected him to look up at me and say, "Well, Ed, I was just contemplating that chicken leg that was on the table and it was calling my name and I just couldn't resist." Because, you see, Buddy, it doesn't matter how much food my mom gives him. He still tries to take food off the kids' plates. And after we've shooed him away for the fifth time and put him into the bedroom, the moment we let him out of the bedroom, he runs back to the table and he tries to get on top of the table to see what is left over. He's doing what dogs do. That's his nature. That's why we have to take animals to obedience school to help them overcome that. As the preacher so rightfully pointed out back then, he's acting like a dog. Now we come to a situation like we just recently encountered here in the state of New York. And we have to ask ourselves, as it relates to Andrew Cuomo and these legislators and others who make these decisions, where we can't help but scratch our heads and shout at the top of our lungs, "What were you thinking?" Some, I'm not going to lie, some are more some of you have been to the island. Some of you have seen how things operate there, and it's getting worse. The murder rate is increasing on the island. In fact, where the previous missionary that we were helping live, they actually had to essentially be in martial law for a while. They were not allowed out of their houses. They were instructed by police to stay indoors at certain times of the evening. Drivers there are arguably some of the worst in the world, in my opinion. They will pull off the shoulder just to pull in front of you just to run a red light. I'm not kidding when I say this. At least 50% of the vehicles in this island have no rear bumper. There's a reason for that. They're horrible. And there's been times when I will get so bent out of shape because they will cut me off in traffic or they will almost smash into me that I want to call down fire from heaven and see God do something miraculous before my eyes. But then the Lord will remind me of a verse like this one in Luke chapter number 9.
If I wanted to go and spend some time with her, then I had to go during those visiting hours. I believe it was
very nauseous and just throwing up and just acting different. I mean, it really was messing her up. And so we asked on that Sunday, do you have anything else that you can give her that will help with the pain? Because this is just making her too sick to deal with this. And they said, okay, we'll give her this. Well, all of us was Tylenol. And they gave it to her, and 2 minutes later, they wheeled her back to clean the wound. My daughter was 2. And I'm telling you folks, if you've never encountered your child screaming at the top of their lungs because they are in the most excruciating pain of their lives, then you can't relate to what my wife and I experienced that afternoon. But literally, she was screaming at the top of her lungs because of the pain that she was in, because they gave her just a general Tylenol to deal with the pain and did not even allow it to get into her system. And she was screaming bloody murder as they're peeling her fingers back to try and clean the wound and then have to redress it. It was like, I dare say it was arguably the most traumatic experience of my life, greater than the kidney stone that I had dealt with. And I remember the message not that long ago that I preached here, and that was nothing. The little demonstration that I gave there was nothing of what I really experienced. But in comparison to what my daughter went through, didn't even pass. Nothing could replace that. I can't even imagine someone that experiences burns over 70% of their body or something to that effect. Because just seeing what happened with my daughter's teeth and the pain that she was in was outrageous. And so we take her back to the room and she is still hysterical, and my wife is just an absolute mess, as any mother would be if they see their child in pain. And we go back to the hospital room where they've been staying. And I kid you not, maybe a minute after we get into the room, we hear this. Seguridad! Guess what? My visiting hours time is over. Security at the door had to escort me out. Doesn't matter that my daughter is screaming hysterically and my wife is on the verge of a breakdown. Security says I gotta go. And so I'm trying to communicate to him, hey, can you just give me a couple minutes so that I can help my wife and my children? So he waited outside the hall for a couple minutes so that I could have a few more minutes to help him. 2 minutes later, he walks cleanly. Doesn't even wait for a reply. Just walks right into the room. She starts cleaning the room and around us. She's patting my wife on the head and she's touching my daughter on the shoulder as they're still just hysterical with whatever's happened. She's trying to talk to us as if nothing's going on. And I literally was on the verge of cursing her out and kicking her out of the room. And I tell you, I did not have any pleasant thoughts of that security guard and that cleaning lady and those doctors that day. I wouldn't have cared if God would have brought down fire and brimstone and just sucked them off the earth. It's amazing when things are very personal to us, how we can have a different view of the people around us. And here in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 51, we read, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. and they went to another village.
Pastor preached an incredible message on Wednesday, reminding us that our God and our Savior Jesus Christ are all about life. And folks, I'm here to tell you that men like Andrew Cuomo us.
They're going to leave us in a position where it would be easy to think that that would be the best solution. To just have fire come down from heaven and take them off the earth. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. We're going to close with this thought. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, look at verse number 3. There is evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Now look at this last part. For a living dog is better than a dead lion.
Again, the kind of point of this method was to look at what scriptures have to say about dogs and how we can correlate that to philosophers. We've looked and we've seen that there was a difference that God says, cast the unholy things to the dogs. Just as a lost person is unholy, unfit to be associated with God. In Isaiah, we saw that there are dumb dogs and that there are greedy dogs. But there are plenty of people that would fit into that. In 2 Peter, we saw that a dog will return to his vomit. closed the book and was going to be bringing in the tribulation, you wouldn't be. Judgment had started. Unfold. We believe there's hope for men like Andrew Cuomo, for our politicians, for the people in our families, for our co-workers, for our neighbors. Because if we do, then we need to continue to do. We need to continue to pray, beg God to do something in the hearts and lives of the men and women around us, in the hearts of our children and our relatives, and the people that we encounter on a regular basis. You support us to go to Puerto Rico and share this message with the people there. That's my circle of influence. And each and every one of you here has one of your own. And you can either agree with this statement that there is hope for a living dog, or you can dismiss it contrary to the Word of God, that it's too late. Are we Calvinists? Do we believe that some are elected to salvation, whereas others are not? And as long as they're alive, there's still hope. And oh, they're going to make some baffling, frustrating, angering decisions. And that's because they're unsaved. And they don't have the Spirit of God inside of themselves. Why would we be surprised? Scripture reminds us that in the last days it's going to be crazy. What are we doing to counteract that? That's the challenge tonight. Knowing that we are in the midst of some crazy times, knowing that we are surrounded by people who are absolutely clueless and could care less for the things of the Word of God, could care less about life as a whole, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Preacher.
Let's all stand. Maybe in your mind you're thinking of that. Maybe you got a person in your heart and your mind that if you could, you'd call fire down. Rather see him get taken out than another opportunity. You know what the problem is? You're the problem. You're not seeing it right. Maybe you need to come pray for that one. Maybe you need to come pray that the Lord change your heart towards that one. Maybe we need to be a little more compassionate to the lost. We'll pray and then we'll have a time of invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you that, Lord, you tossed me some scraps. Lord, you came by my way and gave me something. Lord, I thank you for it. may we be compassionate towards those others. Lord, change our heart towards the lost. Lord, bless this time of invitation now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?